love, but the ones that he loved in return, that's it. One of the saddest things is when someone really deeply falls in love and it's not returned.
That's a sad situation, isn't it? And when God pours out His love upon us, my, how great it is. How great it is. One time Annie said, God, let her look into His heart of love. And I said, what was it like? She said, it's so hard to tell you. See, if you can imagine yourself looking into the middle of a raging volcano, all transparent and all beautiful, see, that would be a little bit like it. Such an intensity. Imagine the intensity that brought Christ to our earth and to a cross just because He loved us. We can't understand that, can we? It's too deep for us. But how desirous it is that we return that love, isn't He? That He wins us away from all the rivals and all the other things that plead to come first in our life, and try to get first place in our life, even good things. The devil can't make us love bad things. He'll say, all right, I'll use good things, but just let them be first. Or they'll even let us love our ministry first, or let us love our church first, or let us love our mother, our father first. Anything, just so that that first love is deviated someplace else. But He's very patient and keeps working and working to bring us until we love Him above all others. So He has a preeminence in our life. And He said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphans, is the word. I will come to you. Dwelleth. He's dwelling. We're the dwelling place of God. With a place that He wants to dwell in, a place that He has chosen to make His habitation. That's why He didn't let David build Him a temple. That's why He wasn't pleased when Solomon or anyone else built Him a temple. He said, there's only one temple, not made with hands. It's a temple of His own making. He dwells in His people. He's chosen that for His dwelling. He makes that His dwelling place. He shall dwell with you. I wonder when He takes up His dwelling. Do you think He begins His dwelling when He finally gets us to be completely sanctified and purified and holy? Then He begins to dwell with us. Do you think that's right? Or do you think a little bit before that? I have a feeling there's a little bit before that. Don't you? Well, how much before that? When we're half sanctified? When the job's half done, do you think He comes now and lives with us? Or before that? I wonder if when we're born again, He comes to live with us. Don't you think that's the time? Or I wonder if that's the time. I wonder if we were orphans before then. I wonder if we were at the whim of chance before then. I wonder if he didn't dwell with us before that. I don't know about you, but I look back in my life, and I'd have to say, like the songwriter said, he was there all the time. All the time. All the way back. All the way back he started his dwelling. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't wait till he had us totally purified and sanctified and sterilized and homogenized and packaged and all ready for delivery. No, he didn't do that, did he? He began way at the beginning, when we didn't know a thing about him. And begin to incline our heart to him. Begin to incline our thoughts to him. It's very interesting. I've talked to people that come to know the Lord and really love the Lord, and so often they'll tell me that they began to be conscious of God when they were just children. Conscious of things in the other world. And they didn't understand that my creed was telling me he went way out in the world. He was a policeman in Scotland Yard. He didn't know anything about God or care anything about God. But he said when he was a child, all on his own, he'd get down and pray. He didn't know much about God. He didn't know much of anything. But even as a child, in that ungodly home, he kneeled down and prayed. He was there all the time, wasn't he? He said, he will dwell with you. I'm so glad he didn't say visit, aren't you? Because visits can get a long time between times, can't they? If he just said, I will visit you, oh, we love the visitations of God. We speak of the visitations of God. But I'm glad the Spirit didn't come to visit me. In fact, I'm mighty glad he didn't come to visit me, because you know what would happen between visits? Do you think you're smart enough to guess what would happen between visits? On my part, it doesn't take much guessing. I know what would happen if he just visited. But I'm so glad he set out to dwell there. I remember one time in my life, I backslid. Things were just too much for me to cope with, and I backslid. All right, I'm through. Turned away from God, that's it. I've blown it. What's the use? I tried to go out in the world. I wasn't very successful, but I tried. But one thing I couldn't do was get rid of him. I'd come home from things I was quite ashamed of, but I couldn't quite get to sleep without praying. I tried to. And sometimes I think, well, hey, what if I happen to have a heart attack and die before I wake up? Maybe I better pray. All kinds of thoughts, but I just couldn't get rid of him. Did you ever try to get rid of him? Did you? I bet you did. I did. But I was totally unsuccessful. He's extremely hard to kick them out of a building and throw their goods on the street, call a policeman and evict them and say, get out. Do you know how hard it is to evict him? It's extremely hard. Because he came to dwell. He says, I bought it. What right you got to kick me out? It's mine. Get out, we say. He says, what for? Because I can't stand it. Too bad. You'll just have to make some adjustments because I'm here to stay. And sure enough, I had to make some adjustments. I'm sure you did. You're probably still in the process of it. But he says, I'm not leaving. Because I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send you another comforter, and he's going to dwell with you. Next time you just have had it clear up to here, wherever here is, and you throw yourself a tantrum, either outside or inside, doesn't make any difference. When you get all through, open your eyes and look over in the eastern corner. See who's standing there watching it all. Never runs away. He just waits for you to get over it. When you're over it, he looks at you and that does you in. You have a good time of repenting, say, I'm sorry. But he doesn't go. That's the thing. He doesn't go. Because he came to dwell. He came to stay. My dear friend, Daddy Frodsham, he loved the Psalms. And there's a verse in the Psalm that speaks of him being strong as a mountain. And he used to say, it's awfully hard to push a mountain over. So how are we going to push God out? He's just there, isn't he? He's just there. And he didn't only come just to sit down and watch us. He came to begin to work. To begin a most marvelous work. So softly, when he builds his temple, he doesn't like to use the sound of, or he doesn't like to hear the sound of a hammer, or the screeching of a saw. He works so silently. He works so in the unseen, the invisible. But he just keeps on working. He just keeps on working. He'll sow a thought. Of all the hundreds of thoughts that rush through our mind, he'll just sow one. But something about that thought, it grows. It's like a living seed. And it grows and it grows. And pretty soon that's the only thing we can think. And pretty soon it's found its place and becomes one more of the stones of his temple that he's building. And changes our thinking, and changes our concepts, and changes our understanding, and changes our desires, changes our purpose, and changes our directions. Until finally, he gets us the place, he can live with us, and he is comfortable. Until we begin to sing songs to him and tell him, Thou art welcome, O King. Thou art welcome, O King. Or again, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Until we begin to rather enjoy the fact he is there. Until we begin to find out what a wonderful thing it is to have him there. And what a great protection it is when thieves would come. And enemies would come. How wonderful it is to be able to send him to the door. And get one look at him when away they go screeching. Because he came to dwell with us. And he works until we're happy to have him. And then more until more and more we get to be stay-at-homers. We do less and less gadding about. What did they say in Australia? Walk about, isn't it? Less and less we want to go walking about. We like to stay at home because he's there. More and more we just like to stay there. More and more, wherever we go, we like to have him along. Because he came to dwell with us and to be in us. How precious. Let that wonderful Holy Spirit we've been talking about, that wonderful Spirit of God, that other comfort, that one that's just like him, comes in his spirit and comes in his light and comes in his love, comes in his stead to be with us. And then, when the house wears out, you know, houses do wear out, don't they? I've been in some pretty old ones, but they've been pretty well redone. But even redo them and they still wear out, don't they? When a house wears out, he says, well, I came to stay, came to dwell. Your house isn't good any longer. Let's go up to my house. I'll take you home with me. But he came to stay, didn't he? And that's the whole purpose. He came to live with us. To abide with us. And the longer he's there, the more we like it. And the longer he's there, the more he begins to make things so he likes it. And pretty soon we find that we like his ways after all. At first we think his ways are horrid. They're absolutely impossible to live that way. Did you ever look at the head at the path of holiness and think, I can never do that? Did you ever look ahead at the things that God's asked of other people? Oh man, if he asked that of me, no way, I couldn't do that. And lo and behold, the day will come and you'll enjoy doing that. What a house guest we have. He came to stay. He shall abide with us, and we shall abide with him. Until he's got our house ready upstairs, you say, well, your house is ready now. Come on home. I thank God that he himself has come to work with us with such patience and such wisdom and such understanding and such power to be able to change us and to keep us, we're kept by the power of God, and to bring us safely through so in that day we shall crown him with many crowns and glorify his name forever. Father, I thank thee for the wonder, the absolute wonder of your grace and your mercy. I thank you came to change us, to take the ashes of our old life and change them into beauty and glory. To take what we once were and make us what we didn't dare to hope to be. I thank you, Father. Keep our faith and our hope. Keep us strong in thee. Let our spirits rejoice in thee, in God our Savior. And I pray, Lord, your mercies and your love shall keep us tight.